Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20 is the text for the message this morning. We use the term Merry Christmas, Merry being happy, as we think of the book of Proverbs, as a merry heart doeth good like a medicine and so on, and a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. And so we think of those words, merry, happy. We sing the songs, joy to the world, the Lord is come. We sing sometimes, good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. And so we talk of this season being a season of joy, a season of happiness. The question is, do you have joy? Are you happy? Not just happy about a certain thing, just for a momentary happiness, but do you have a long-lasting happiness in your heart and in your life? What is it that you look to bring you joy at this time of the year? Some people look to this time of the year as a pickup. Oh boy, it's been kind of dark. Today is the shortest day, the longest night, but boy, it's Christmas and now we can be, encouraged again or whatever. Now, what is it that brings you the joy that you look forward to this time of the year, if you do? Is it the music? Everywhere you go, you hear the same similar songs. And some of them, of course, based in a biblical record of Christ's birth, and some of them talking about snowmen and Santa Claus and all the rest. But the songs, some people look forward to that. Some people look forward to the music. Is it the snow? Well, if it is this year, you'll be very disappointed because we don't have much. By this week, apparently, it'll be gone. But maybe it'll come back. Who knows? I'm sure it will sometime in January, if not before. Is it the decorations? This time of the year, a lot of decorations. People have their houses all lit up with lights. And I just saw on the news last night some Guinness Book of World Records how many light bulbs are in somebody's house decorations in Australia somewhere. A million, I don't know. It was like, how could you ever count those light bulbs? I mean, that's just a crazy thing to me. But, the hydro bills must be just ridiculous. But the lights, they do look nice and they brighten things up, make things cheery. Is it the anticipated gifts? Or maybe it's the gatherings, the family get-togethers and the dinners and those kind of things. But the question is, are you happy and do you have joy in your life? And many people live their lives looking for fulfillment in the things of this life. And though they may find a temporary happiness that puts a smile on their face for a short while, it just is a short-lived thing and then it's back to emptiness and lacking unfulfilled joy. While the gifts were new, they were happy. When the party's on, they were happy. But when the wrapping is removed and the guests are gone, the happiness goes out the door with that. It's sad that that would be the case, but that is the lot of many people. But the Bible tells us in our text this morning that the angel's message to the shepherds was one of joy, not just for the shepherds, but for all people. And so this morning we're going to look at the thought here in Luke chapter 2, has his coming brought you joy? Luke chapter 2 verse 1, it says, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." That's probably not the thing that brings joy, the thought of taxation. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Notice what it says in verse number 10. It says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Has his coming brought you joy? Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, again, we are thankful for the Word of God that we have before us this morning that tells us of the birth of our Savior. So many years ago, the Lord Jesus came And yet that coming is still just as relevant to us today as it was to the shepherds so many years ago. Lord, I pray that we would examine our hearts this morning, and it may be that there's a lack of joy, maybe because there's been a wrong focus in our life, but may we realize this morning that we can have a deep, abiding joy in our heart because our Savior came and He provided a salvation which we can have and know ourselves. And Lord, so for that we are thankful, and I pray that You'd help us to examine our own hearts and see, Lord, where we stand with You this morning. Lord, there'd be no greater thing than that if there's somebody that doesn't know You as their Savior, that they would be saved today. For Your Word tells us that today is the day of salvation. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to just hear from You this morning from this portion of Scripture. If we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. I want us to think about this thought of joy. There are several things, I believe, that brought joy as we look in this passage this morning. There was joy in the birth. There's joy in the birth. In verse 10, he says, there's good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. Verse 11 says, excuse me, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The joy was because there was a birth. There was a birth that brought joy and was to bring joy not only to the shepherds but to all people. A birth is a happy time. I know for the mothers who give birth, it's a relief, it's a happy time. All this, the discomfort and everything else that's been going on for the last few months and changes, it's relief. The baby has been born. Those who are expectant, you know, when it gets towards the end, it's just like, I just wish this baby would be born today. And there's a joy in birth. The angel said this news was for all people, and that would be exciting news because of the birth of a child. Anytime we hear of the birth of a child, we rejoice. We rejoice with the parents. We say, wasn't that great? That's exciting. And especially with somebody that we know, we say, well, congratulations. That's an exciting time for you to have a baby and to bring that child into the world. We spend months of anticipation waiting for the birth of a child. And I know that this, you know, technology today, a lot of people find out whether it's going to be a boy or a girl, and it's best that, you know, they can tell by the ultrasounds and so on, and they get more and more accurate all the time. But they, you know, but some of us, like in our case, we didn't want to know, and so we waited, and so it's like, well, is it going to be a boy or a girl? Then we got a couple of names picked out, so is it going to be Jen or Ben? I mean, that was just, you know, what's it going to be? It's because you got to have both sides covered, right? So, you know, and you're wondering all that time, you know, the anticipation. What's the baby going to look like? Is it going to look like mom? Or is it going to look like dad? Is it going to look like grandpa? Who's it going to look like? And we think, well, you know, I wonder, you know, when so-and-so was born, they look like so-and-so. And I wonder how big they're going to be. The doctor thinks this baby's going to be about this many pounds and this many ounces, and we'll have to see. And people speculate, boy, I don't know, that mom's pretty big. Well, you know, with that baby, it must be a big baby coming. And there's that anticipation. I wonder if they're going to have hair when they're born. Are they going to be born bald and like they'll end this life if they're a guy, probably bald? Are they going to come in, you know, with or without? I mean, there's all kinds of things we wonder about. How's it going to be? And then the birth takes place, and we see that child, the people involved see that child, and all those things that they wondered about are found out. It's a time of joy. It's a time of rejoicing. It's a time of seeing the realization of that anticipation. It may have been more than 9 months of waiting. It may have been years of waiting. Remember back in the Bible, Hannah wanted to have a child, so desperately wanted a child, and she couldn't have a child for so many years, and finally, God heard her cry and heard her prayer, and then when that baby was born, when Samuel was born, I mean, there was years of anticipation fulfilled. There was great joy when that baby was born. And so birth in general is a happy time. There was joy in the birth, because birth is a happy time, but also joy in the birth because this baby was born for them. You see what it says in verse 11? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. News of a baby's birth brings joy, but that joy is increased when it's somebody that we know. As we've already mentioned, if it's somebody that we don't know, we still say, oh, good for them, that's nice, it's exciting, a baby born. But when it's somebody we know, then that's all the more exciting. The angel said that the baby born in Bethlehem was born for them. None of them were the parents of that child, of course, but his birth affected them. The birth of this child directly related to them. I remember when our children were born, we were happy. It brought joy. Because that was our children. I honestly could tell you that I'm not the kind of person that somebody had a baby, say, oh, let me hold this baby. I mean, that just wasn't me. But when it was my child, that was a completely different story. I wanted to hold my children. It was an exciting time. It brought joy, and they still do bring joy most of the time. Sure, I'm happy when anyone has a baby, but when our baby was born, that was all the more exciting. That was more joyful. And the baby born here was the Savior, and He was born for them. Talk about anticipation. Not 9 months, not a few years, but many, many years. They had been waiting for this child to be born. And though these shepherds may not have been tremendously old, they knew the promises. They knew that the expectation was that at some point there would be a child born that had been prophesied and told them in times gone by, and they knew that that child would be born. Israel had been waiting for centuries. And now He was born. Since the fall of man, when God had promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head, mankind had been waiting and anticipating when this child would be born. And now this angel comes and he said, I've got good tidings of great joy. There's a baby born. And let me tell you, there's more. This baby is born for you. This baby is the Savior. The long anticipated, long awaited Savior. Since Abraham had said to Isaac, God will provide Himself a lamb. They've been waiting. They've been waiting and anticipating, when is God going to provide that lamb? When is the Lamb of God going to come to take away the sin of the world? Since Isaiah had prophesied that a virgin would conceive and bear a son and he shall be called Emmanuel, they've been waiting. When's it going to be? Hundreds of years have gone by. When is it going to take place? Since Micah had said that in Bethlehem, that city of David, one would come forth whose goings forth had been from everlasting. They'd been waiting. And now the angel says to them, there's joy because there's a baby born. And that baby is the one you've been waiting for. That baby is born for you. The time had come. God had fulfilled His promises. The Savior named Jesus because He would save His people from their sins. These were tidings of great joy because the long-awaited child had been born. You know, the same news brings joy to us today. We don't have to wait. It's already taken place. We look back. But we look back and we see the prophecies, and we look back, then we see that they were fulfilled, and that brings great joy to our hearts to know God fulfilled His word unto us still. Christ was born. 2,000 years ago, yes. Not this day. We celebrate it this time of the year, but many years ago, Jesus was born, and He was born for us. That brings great joy to consider that today, because He was born to be our Savior. So there was joy in the birth of this child. There was joy in the birth of Christ, but there was joy also in finding Him. The angel said to these shepherds, this baby has been born in the city of David, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, is verse number 12. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Continues reading there, verse 13. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. You realize that when the angels ascended and went back to heaven, that the shepherds said, let's go and find this child. Let's go and find the one that we have heard about. You know, it's one thing to know that something has happened, but it's another thing to see it and to realize it for yourself. The angels gave them all they needed to know to find this child that they had announced the birth of. They said he was in the city of David. They knew the city of David was Bethlehem. That was a well-known fact. That's where David was from. Just like Micah had promised, he was going to be born in Bethlehem. It wasn't far away because the angel said in the same country. They were in the same region. They were in the same area. Obviously, they weren't right in the town. They were off in the hillsides and so on. But they were in the same area. So unto you is born this day in the city of David. It was Bethlehem. They weren't far away. They could go and see him. They could make that trip. They were told how he was clothed and where he would be lying. Bethlehem wasn't a big town. But it was packed with people. All the world had gone to be taxed. All those people from Bethlehem and the house and lineage of David had been there. And so it was a very busy place. And so where do you find a baby in a very busy town packed with people? But the angel said how they would know which baby it was. There may have been more than one baby in the town. But this baby would be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, that wasn't an unusual thing. That's how the Hebrews wrapped their children, with strips of cloth wrapped quite tightly around them. I guess probably to make them feel comfortable. They've been in the womb enclosed, and so they wrapped them quite tightly in those swaddling bands or swaddling clothes. But he would be in a manger. Now, that would be something unusual, wouldn't it? Why would a baby be in a manger? A feeding trough for cattle. That was where this baby was to be found. That would give them an idea of where to look for this child. And so having been given the details, they decided that they would go and find this baby. Who wouldn't go and see? I mean, can you imagine an announcement by angels? The excitement of who this baby was? And so they said, let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Who wouldn't want to go and find that baby who fulfilled all those prophecies? You know, their journey to find him expressed faith in who he was. And they found him just like they'd been told. So there was joy about hearing it, but to find him, to see the fulfillment of the prophecies themselves, there was joy in finding that child. It's obvious that they had joy over finding him because, as we'll look at in a few minutes, they went out and everywhere they went, they told about what they'd seen and what they'd heard. Isn't that what joy does? It makes you want to talk about what's made you happy. You see somebody and they got a big grin on their face and you say, hey, what's with you? And I mean, they just can't wait to tell you why they're so happy, why they're so joyful. These men, these shepherds came and they saw the child and they were so filled with joy that they had found him themselves, that they went and told all that they found along the way. You know, there's joy in finding Jesus Christ. You can hear about him, and people may have been telling you about him for a long time, but there's a joy in finding him yourself. Like the shepherds, you may have heard about his birth. You may have thought, how nice. But the question is, have you found him? Have you found the Christ? Have you found him just like you were told about him? If you have, that's what brings the joy. See, they were told that this was the Savior that had been born, and they went and they found him, and that brought greater joy. I'm reminded of Andrew, who met Jesus, and he told his brother Simon, we have found him. We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. We have found him. We'd heard about him. John the Baptist, who they were one of John the Baptist's followers, John said, behold the Lamb of God, and they heard him speak, and they went and they said, this is the Christ. And then Andrew said, we have found him. We have found this one that was to come. And so Andrew then brought Simon to Jesus. Then there was Philip, who the same time frame, same day, said to his friend Nathanael, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Oh, the joy that comes with finding Jesus Christ. We have found him. We found him ourselves. We've seen him. We believe it ourselves. Do you remember when you found Jesus Christ as your Savior? We didn't find him in a manger in Bethlehem. But I trust that you found him as your Savior in the pages of the Word of God, and you said, "Yes, that is the one. He is the one. He is the Savior. I believe and I receive him as mine." I remember when I found him as my Savior. Christ came seeking us, and all we really have to do is turn around and he's there. It's not hard to find him. But I remember finding him as my Savior in March 1981 when I was just 12 years old. I remember the joy that flooded my heart. I remember going back into my bedroom. It was late at night and I had gone to my brother and he led me to the Lord. I went back to my bedroom and I remember opening my Bible and just reading and reading and reading and reading. There was a joy that flooded my heart. I know there's joy in finding him. There's joy in hearing about who he is and what he's going to do. But when you find him for yourself, when you believe it for yourself, wow, that brings great joy. Have you found Jesus Christ? Have you received him as your Savior? Because the Bible says here that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He is born to you. See, how do you know it's for us as well? Because remember what he said at the end of verse 10, this joy shall be to all people. We're part of all people, aren't we? This joy is for us. And if you found him as your Savior, if you realized I am a sinner and that's why he came to save me, and you received his salvation and forgiveness that is through Jesus Christ, then you know a little bit about what I'm talking about, the joy that can be in your heart, the joy in your life. There's no joy like the joy of finding Jesus. I see a third joy that we have in our text here this morning, and that is the joy of being in the presence of the heavenly host. In verses 13 and 14, I believe that we see here very clearly that there was a whole group of angels. The one angel had been mentioned already in verse number 9, and then verse 13 and 14, we find that there was more than just the one more came to accompany the one. When they first saw the angel, they were full of fear in verse 9. Say, why would you be afraid of an angel? I mean, those little white, fluffy, winged creatures. Well, really, is that what they look like? I don't know. They're not always described that way in the Bible. But I think you and I would be pretty afraid as well if it's dark and we've got no street lights, no light pollution. You're on some hillside somewhere outside of Bethlehem, and all of a sudden, whoosh, it's like somebody turns on all the lights, a big floodlight. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid, understandably so. An ordinary night of watching the sheep was interrupted. The darkness of the night broke into glorious light. But once their fears had been set aside, there must have been amazement and joy at the sight and the sounds of the angels praising God. Joy from being in the presence of perfect praise to God. You realize who these messengers were that were sent? The angels? Where do angels normally dwell? In heaven. The presence of God. They'd come down to the earth with this great message, this important message. They'd had years of practice in a perfect environment. They knew how to praise God. Wow. They were from heaven. It doesn't say whether they sang or whether they spoke. We often assume that they sang, and perhaps they did, or maybe they spoke. We really don't know which they did, but have you ever heard a choir or a orchestra that's been practicing and practicing, practicing, and they put on the performance, and it's just perfectly put out there? I mean, can you imagine? These are angels sent from heaven that have been in heaven practicing praise to God and worship to God all throughout since the moment they were created. And these are the ones that were glorifying God. I can't imagine the being there. I'm sure that the hairs on the back of the neck of those guys probably stood up, just like it does sometimes when you hear a powerful singing group or a powerful group of people get together, even with a reading and so on, and we say, wow, that's powerful. This would have been a powerful statement of praise and glory to God. I'm sure that there was great joy. I believe that praising God brings joy to those who know Him, and joy and praise go together. After all, is that not what we were created for? To bring glory to God, to praise God? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 43:4 says, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. The psalmist said, I've got exceeding joy, and because of the joy in my heart, I will praise thee. It was joy from being in the presence of that perfect praise, but also it was joy from understanding the importance of the message. Again, an event so anticipated, an event that so impacted the whole world, not only the shepherds on the hillside, but wise men from afar, and kings, and nations, and people of all time. An event so important that God sent angels to declare it. Luke 15:7 and 10 says, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God. It comes about by sinners turning from their sin and trusting Jesus Christ. When people understand the importance of the message and believe, there's joy. There's a joy. Realizing the importance of the message and the occasion must have brought joy. And joy because they just had a glimpse of heaven. When angelic beings declared the message, they recognized that these were from heaven. Can you imagine the joy there's going to be in heaven? Forever in the presence of God. Forever in a perfect place where there's no tears, no sorrow, no pain. These shepherds on this hillside that day got just a little bit of a glimpse of heaven that day. Being in the presence of angels from heaven. Hearing and anticipating in the praise to God. Participating in the praise to God is what heaven will be about. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? The Bible gives us little glimpses of heaven and talks about the elders being before the throne and those angels in heaven and talks about singing a new song of praise to the Lamb. And right, can you imagine what it's going to be like when we're there? I mean, I don't think we really can imagine it, how it's really going to be, because I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. But just to think in our finite minds, what amazing place heaven's going to be. And these guys just got a little bit of a glimpse of what heaven was going to be like, a place of praise to God. And by the way, heaven is a place that's been opened to us because of the events that happened that day. Because Jesus came. If Jesus hadn't come, we'd have no hope of heaven. We have no way of being allowed to go there. Heaven's a place, again, where we'll enjoy the presence of God for all of eternity. You know, the church should be a little bit like heaven on earth too, shouldn't it? A place where we learn about Him, think about the reason He came, and sing praises to His name. Where we learn to praise Him, where we come to worship Him, a place of joy. The psalmist said in Psalm 42, verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, a multitude that kept the holy day. Isn't it a great thing to be able to come together to the house of God with joy in our heart because we know the one who's going to be spoken of? And praise on our lips because of what He has done for us. No wonder the psalmist went on to say in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There was joy in the presence of the heavenly host. So there's joy in the news. A baby has been born. Joy in the birth There was joy in finding that child that had been born. There was joy in being in the presence of the heavenly host. But there was joy also in spreading the news about what they had seen and heard. Verse number 17 says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned." What were they doing when they returned? "Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." There was joy in spreading the news of what they had heard. The angel said, this news that you're going to hear that's going to bring you joy is for all people. They took that responsibility very seriously, and when they had found the child, they went out and they told all the people that they met. "This is the child that was born. This is what was told about us." Again, we know that when we're happy about something, when we're rejoicing in something, even the shyest of us can't keep it in. We got to tell somebody. We tell somebody when the occasion comes and we all feel like a balloon ready to pop. We're just going to tell somebody about it. These men went out thrilled, excited, filled with the enthusiasm and excitement of what they had heard about the effect upon mankind. And they said, "We've got to tell people." And there was joy in their heart as they told people. Wouldn't you have wanted to have been one of those people that was told about Jesus' birth by those shepherds? You know, in some ways, I think it would have been more exciting than being told about it by the angels. In some ways. Because I'm pretty sure they would have been, they would have been so full they probably couldn't tell fast enough everything that they'd heard. Can you imagine them walking down the streets of Bethlehem saying, "Hey, listen, down the street here, Christ has been born, Christ the Savior of the world, we've been waiting and He's been born." And people go, what are you talking about? All there is down at the end there is a cattle stall, there's no place, what do you mean? Then they were trying to tell, and we were on the hillside, and angels came, and it was all bright all of a sudden. And they would have just been thrilled and excited and trying to tell people about that. What a time that must have been, because the Bible says all they that heard wondered about those things. They were like, "Whoa, what has got into these shepherds? Shepherds usually aren't this excitable. What's going on here? What happened to their sheep? They wondered about it. Why? Because they were so thrilled with joy about the news that they were telling people about it. If you're a believer and you have joy in your heart, you should want to know that, others to know that too. John says in 1 John 1, verse 4, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." He says, listen, we've got that joy. Our fellowship is with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ, and we're already filled with this joy, and now we're writing this to you because we want you to know the joy that we've got. We want you to know about that salvation. We want you to know that joy that comes in your heart. If there's joy in the presence of the angels of God every time a sinner repents, as we already mentioned in Luke 15, verses 7 and 11, then we should say, wow, I want there to be joy in heaven. I want to tell somebody about the Lord so there can be joy in heaven when this person receives Christ. It makes us nervous and puts us out of our comfort zone sometimes sharing the gospel with others. But it brings joy, especially when they believe and are saved and have that joy themselves. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, Paul said to the Thessalonian believers that they were his joy and crown of rejoicing in the presence of God is coming. What was he saying? He's saying, Thessalonian believers, because we came and preached to you, and you heard the message and you believed, that just brought joy to our hearts. And every time we think about meeting the Lord in the air or when He calls us home, we think of the joy that will be ours to see you standing before God there because we were able to share the gospel with you and you received it and you believed. He said that causes joy to us. Enjoy, Christian, the opportunity to share the good news. It'll bring joy to your heart. So how is it with you this Christmas season? Do you have joy in your heart? Say, oh boy, on Thursday morning when I get to rip that wrapping off and get that gift, I think I know what it is. It's going to be so happy. Well, that's great. You can look forward to that. But if that's the only joy you've got at this time of the year, it's got its first mark on it or first problem with it, it's not working right, or when you've just been using it for a while, it'll just be the same old, and the joy won't be there so much. And you'll have to hope that somebody tops it on the next gift or the next thing that happens in your life. See, if the joy is centered around the gifts, it won't last. If the joy is centered around the snow and the decorations and the lights, when they're gone, the joy will be too. If the joy is, wow, we get together with friends and wow, we just enjoy being together, enjoy it, yes, but if that's all the joy is when those people walk out the door, when you walk out the door of their place, there'll be an emptiness again in your heart. The joy of this season is the joy that lasts every day, all throughout the year. It's the joy that comes in hearing about the birth of the Savior who came to save you. The joy in knowing that He is yours. The joy really comes when you meet Him yourself, when you find Him and see Him, as it were, not with eyes physical, but with eyes of faith, and say, He's the Savior I need. I believe in Him and I receive His gift of salvation. And He changes your life. The joy continues as you spend time worshiping Him in anticipation of that great and glorious day when we'll be forever with Him in His presence. And the joy is multiplied as you tell others about Him, giving them the opportunity to have that joy that is yours. Joy is available to all. And did you notice what it says in verse 10? I bring you good tidings, that's good news, of great joy, which shall be to all people. The question I ask you this morning is, has His coming brought you joy?